Good morning, church. I'll tell you what, every time Kevin asks me to do this, it's a tough act to follow when our musicians are up here because we've got a great set of musicians, I'll tell you that, whether it's our choir or praise band or whoever. May I please have you all stand as we read the Word of God this morning? I am reading Galatians 5, verses 16 and verses 22 and 23. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Brian. You may be seated, everyone. We have an amazing and awesome God, don't we? You know, I'm just mindful of how we see God in the world around us, which is no easy thing considering that God is beyond all that we know and can conceive. But last night, we just had a most amazing late summer sunset. And as I saw that sunset, I remembered God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and I gave thanks. This morning when I came in, there's one thing that I'm always thankful of. And you know, when I come into the church, I've got my mind filled with so many things, just like y'all do. But I'm always thankful that we have this stained glass window of Jesus, who's there knocking on the door. And we know that that's a metaphor, right? Knocking on the door of our hearts to be let in. And I love that picture of Jesus. Those of you here and those of you at home, you've got pictures of Jesus or you've seen pictures of Jesus. And for many of us, we see Jesus Christ and we see God. Holy Spirit's a little bit different, though. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Now, some of you have had images of God that are kind of a light and kind of energy and kind of that may come close to the Holy Spirit. But let's face it, the Holy Spirit is, when we read Scripture and we hear it expressed as wind and breath and spirit, that could look like anything to us. And yet it's so important, isn't it? Because it's the Holy Spirit that's within our heart, that Holy Spirit that is surrounding us. That's how we experience God. That truly is. That unlocks our view so that we can see how God is at work in this world. Because it's that Holy Spirit that lives in us where we can see God's presence and God's peace and God's power. Amen? Jesus shares that those who believe that they receive a gift from the Father. And that gift is that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that believers will know, even if the world doesn't know, they will know and they will encounter it. They'll experience it. Why? Because the Spirit abides in them and we abide with the Spirit. What an amazing, graceful gift. But still the question remains, how do we see God's presence and peace and power from the Holy Spirit? Well, friends, something that I've thought long on, that I've been convicted by, that I've been blessed by, is to see the Holy Spirit alive and at work in a grace and love, Spirit-filled life. And we are surrounded by people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. And how we witness to God's presence, peace, and power is through that wonderful thing called the fruit of the Spirit. Tammy, it's been about 30 years ago that we started going to a church in Springfield, Missouri, my sister's church, Asbury United Methodist Church. And somehow, after visiting with several churches, both in Texas and then a few in Springfield, with our boys who were about 9 or 10 at the time, for whatever reason, Asbury stuck. We kept going back there. And they had a good preacher, pastor. They had great programs for children and youth and adults, and that was all cool. But you know, why we stuck, what made that church home was the people. And yeah, they were friendly, but they could be cranky too. And I kind of liked that, because the thing that I saw, the thing that made that home, is that these people were real. You know what I'm talking about? They were authentic. And it was just amazing to see God in each of them. One of those people that I met, his name was Roy Biesmeyer. Roy Biesmeyer was an older gentleman, and he and his wife, well, they were wonderful people. First met them when we were doing this special dinner that we would do once a quarter called a birthday dinner. What happened is after church, kind of in the middle of a quarter, like if it was January, February, March, it was in February, we would gather people in our fellowship hall, and there was a little potluck, but the big thing is this was a birthday celebration, so there was cake. Let them in cake, and we did. And there was a different cake on every table. And even if it wasn't our birthday in that quarter, we still got to celebrate with everybody. Well, Tammy and I, being that we kind of hung out with my sister and her family, we naturally thought, well, we're going to eat with them. And so as we're going to the fellowship spot, Roy came up to us and he said, I would like to have you come and sit at our table. And I thought, well, that is just so cool. But I didn't know him. And this introvert here politely declined and said, kind of promised my sister that we would sit, knowing that my sister would care less if we sat with him or not. But at the time, you know, I just felt like, this is weird. He said, I understand. He goes, but next time maybe we can do this. And friends, just that invitation to go and sit with somebody that I didn't know, who wanted to get to know me and Tammy and our family better, well, that was something. And what I began to see in Roy and in his wife, Lena, was love, was joy and peace and patience and self-control. I'm going to get these out of order. Gentleness, kindness. All those wonderful things that we know of as fruits of the Spirit. We don't see the fruit of the Spirit a lot in our world today. In our day-to-day lives, it's difficult. It's not the normal way of things. Even those of us that say we are those who believe in Jesus. The world doesn't favor love or peace or kindness or joy or any of those things. And I'm not trying to bring down the world, because of course there's all those things within there. But it just seems that there's so much discord. Yesterday here in our sanctuary, we had a Harrisonville town hall, and it was a very informative session on COVID, and especially the impact on the local hospital here. And it's something. If you want to come and talk to me about it, I'll be glad to share what was learned yesterday. But we had others here who were there as well. But, you know, the thing that I was mindful of, even though we had a great conversation in here, is just how much discord there is during this time of pandemic. You know, in the future, historians and sociologists and all those folks are going to look back and go, what a wild time for the human race, and how we treated one another in the midst of a pandemic. And it's not just the pandemic. It's in all of our communication. Isn't it ironic that with all the ways that we can communicate now through email and through Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and all those wonderful ways, we still get so angry. And friends, just in the violence that's in the world today, sometimes we just go, when's it going to end? And for each of us, each and every day, don't we react to this world as though, you know, we're kind of hate-filled and we're restless and we're cranky and we're stingy and we're harsh and we're mean and we have no self-control. We're just crazy. Well, that's part of who we are. You know, in a church long ago, thousands of years ago, in a province, not a city, not a nation, but a province known as Galatia, there were some believers in Jesus there. And of course, thousands of years ago, life was different then. But you know, the emotions and the character of a Christian were just the same as they are right now. So I want to share a little bit about this church. This church in all these towns in the province of Galatia. These were Christ followers who were hungry. They were hungry for Jesus. And they wanted to follow Jesus in the right way. Do you want to follow Jesus in the right way? Mumble, 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 kind of. I hear you at home too. They really did. And the only problem was is that they got confused. For you see, Paul, the apostle Paul, the church builder Paul, he's the one that initially shared Jesus with them. He traveled to their region, and what he did is, hey, you guys have been worshiping all these gods out here. That ain't God. There is one God. And that one God loves you so much that he gave his son for you. And that son died for you so that you are saved. And you are free. For freedom, Christ has set you free. And that church blossomed and grew. He baptized people in the power of water and spirit. And the church was born in Galatia. And then, a group of well-meaning Christian missionaries came into Galatia. And they started going around talking to the people, and they said, hey, 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 Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But there are some rules you got to follow. Gentlemen, you got to have a surgical procedure. You got to get circumcised. Women, men, we've got these rules that you need to follow about the food that you eat, about the things that you do. You need to follow the law, capital L, capital A, capital W. It's probably even better if we post them on a wall somewhere so you can see them. And you know, the believers in Galatia, you know, it's like, well, that would make things more plain. You know, before we judge them, you kind of grab onto that, right? These are rules. If I break it, I break it. If not, I'm not. You know, it's like they're right there for me to follow. And so they started listening to these well-meaning missionaries that, in addition to believing and loving Jesus, and they need to follow all these rules. The Apostle Paul, the one who brought them Jesus, had a response to that. And I'll give you the gist of the letter of Galatians, of Paul's response. One is a question. What are you doing, church? And the other is an exclamation. No, 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 no. And Paul emphasized to them, don't you remember freedom? It is enough that Christ was sacrificed that God loved you so much that the Spirit was poured out on you. You do not have to follow these rules anymore. They can be useful, but you don't have to follow them. If you break them, that doesn't mean God's not going to love you. God already loves you. And you are free. You are free. Now, you're not free to do whatever the heck you want. That's not what Paul means by freedom. Christians got confused about that too back in the day and still do. What Paul says is you were free to serve one another. You are free to love one another. And what an amazing freedom that is. And that Paul shares with us is more than enough. And in that freedom, then you live with the Spirit within you and you shine that light and you live that life, and behold, there is the fruit of the Spirit. But it's not easy to live that life, is it? Nah. There's some obstacles on the way. Just a little bit before the scripture that Brian shared with us, Paul shares these words. He says, you know, for you were called to a freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. Now, the works of the flesh, they're obvious. Fornication. He doesn't waste time, does he? I'm not going to explain that to you right now. Look it up if you don't know the meaning of that word. Impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, that is quite a list. Guess what? I say, guess what? I'm glad you asked. There are more obstacles in the way. Paul was only giving us the top 12 in his estimation. I think that's why he ended things like these. I tried to look that up by Google to see if that was interpreted somewhere. It is not. It just means there are more out there. And Paul was wanting to say, this is what we're up against. This is how we deal with the world, and these are the things that we fall prey to. These are the things that can enslave our hearts. These are the things that we can become addicted to if we're not careful. These are the things that make us focus inward and make us selfish and make us, well, even though we know God is always with us, it's these things that turn our eyes of the heart inward so that we cannot know that God is with us. But hear good news. The Spirit is with us. And with the Spirit, this is what happens. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. What a gift. Jesus told his disciples in the 14th chapter of John that they received this gift from the Father, the Holy Spirit. But this gift that is within us, this gift that counsels us, that comforts us, that guides us, is the Spirit that sets us free so that in the midst of all those obstacles that we can still love. And as we do so, then we start to encounter the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, excuse me. And we take a bite of that fruit. But we also begin to bear that fruit. It's not fruit that we create, it is from God, but it becomes part of who we are and part of what we share. I saw the fruit of the Spirit in Roy Biesmeyer. I would watch him, this tall, thin gentleman, as he walked around, and I was impressed, you know. I told you about his authenticity, but I love the way that he carried himself. Have you noticed that about some people? It's like, I just look at that guy, and I just love him. And I loved his wife, too, but there was something about Roy. I just watched him, and I thought, this guy is just really something. And in his dealings with people, but I think it was really how he loved others. And really how he loved me. Several things with Roy. You know, this church, Asbury, they love to party a lot. I think we should party too, church. Other meals that they would have mother-daughter banquets, and they would have father-son dinners. Now, I always remember Roy coming up to me and inviting me to be his guest for a father-son dinner. Man, I got adopted. And he was my spiritual father. And I love that. Now, what I found out later, and I was surprised I didn't find out at first, but what I found out later, and I think it's because he didn't make such a big deal about it, is that this guy had been a pastor. He was a retired pastor that had served churches in Ohio and in various different states in the Midwest. And, you know, we didn't talk about spiritual things at all. We just were friends. In the passage of time, I felt a tug on my heart, a call to ministry. When it came out that I was called and I was going to pursue ordained ministry, well then, Roy gave me this book. It's an interpreter's Bible. It's a commentary. You could tell it's not from this century, right? But he didn't just give me this book. If you go into my office and you look down to your left in the bookcase, you'll see 16 volumes, a complete set that he gave to me. He said, this is for your ministry. And then Roy and Lena, well, they moved to St. Louis where they lived the rest of their days in a retirement facility. I'll always remember them, and I'll especially remember Roy, because people who live with the Spirit in their hearts, they are unforgettable. So church, let's be unforgettable. The fruit of the Spirit isn't just something that shines from an individual's life. It shines from groups. Sunday school classes, small groups, lay leadership teams, church boards, choirs, praise teams, church. People will know of the love of the Spirit by the fruit that they see shining forth, growing like Leah leaves on us. What an amazing gift that God has given us. Let's not waste it. Let's bear fruit so that this world will know. Friends, that is a good life. And that is a life worth living. And all God's people said, amen.